You know, our ministry talks about experiencing hope, and here at the Christmas season, you know, the hope for life, the hope for our future comes in the birth of that baby, but also Easter, the fulfillment of Jesus' intentional love for us. Hey, I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living. I'd like to have you join in. Maybe you can talk about what's going on in your life. Maybe you have a question, or maybe you want to talk about hope and how hope has made a difference in your life. What does hope feel like to you? Again, we'd love to have you share with us by giving us a call on our comment line here at 888-888-1717. Just like Eric. So how can I help you today, my friend?
Yeah, well, I have a question. Newly married to a woman, beautiful woman, that's generous and kind, has a big heart, but she has no children of her own. And I have two children. Unfortunately, they have two different mothers, and periodically I have to converse and see these other women. My wife does not understand, and I don't understand her not understanding, but there seems to be some tension, maybe some jealousy, and maybe some resentment.
Hey, listen, Eric, I think you said it, man. You said my wife, she's beautiful, she's wonderful, and all of these things, but she's got a big heart, which means she's a heart person, and she probably operates out of her emotions, and maybe she's been hurt, maybe there's been a trust issue in her life, and obviously here you are interacting with these other women, you got another life that she knows nothing about, had no involvement in, and it's understandable that she's going to feel a little funny about that, but I think you said it well, I don't understand why she doesn't understand. And I think that's where I'd begin, man. Listen, Eric, you need to sit down with your wife and say, honey, listen, I want to understand. I mean, these are ex-wives. You're my wife. Okay, there's a question in her mind. Are they really ex-wives? Are they really out of your life? See? And then ask her to speak to you. What is she feeling? What does this make her feel like? And then ask this profound intentional living question. What one thing can I do to help you feel better about these interactions that I have to have? That's part of it. When you got married to me, you married the whole enchilada. My kids and their mothers, there's going to be a relationship for the rest of my life with these people. What one thing can I do intentionally that's going to help you feel better about that relationship? In other words, Eric, what you're doing is you're showing her that you honor her, that you care about her, but you're also facing the reality. Don't go behind your back. You've got to have openness and honesty. And I'll tell you, Eric, your call is a reminder of how complicated and complex things can get with blended families. And we see it every day. If you just joined us, this is Intentional Living. Maybe you've got some take on how you've handled that particular kind of thing in your life. Give us a call, 888-888-1717. One of the big messages of Intentional Living is that people would experience the hope, see, the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And we always love it when people call and tell us a hope-filled story. And I think Jana wants to do that from Idaho today. So, Jana, welcome to the program. How has hope changed your life?
I think everything kind of started to go downhill in my life. About the end of September, my mom died really rapidly of ovarian cancer. So I was kind of reeling from that. We weren't particularly close. And just because you're not close to someone doesn't mean you're not going to grieve when they pass. Right. And I think you start missing the things that maybe could have been. So that's where I was on a little bit shaky ground. And then I was working at a job where I had to work alone a lot. A man came in with a mask and a hood and a gun and robbed the place, tied me up. There was sexual assault. He left, and I had to count to 2,000 before I could go for help. And I remember sitting there while I was counting to 2,000, feeling very hopeful that I was going to be okay. I kept meditating on that. Sorry, I get a little bit nervous.
That's all right.
That God works all things together for good. And I just kept saying that over and over and over while I was sitting there waiting to go get help. And I felt this great sense of promise that I was going to be okay. And not only that, that some really good things were going to come from it. So I actually, from the very first moment, had hope. I didn't know what was coming, but I thought good was going to be coming. And I've struggled a lot in the past with depression, with not really understanding grace and mercy and forgiveness. And now I just went into the lab, basically, to learn about these things firsthand. Because when you have some giant to forgive, you start contemplating forgiveness. And what does that really mean? You can't look at your circumstances. You really have to go back to looking at God. And what I do daily, in fact, I would say probably hourly, is that I think about God is going to give me enough of what I need to get through that day. If I start looking ahead, then I start getting a little bit panicky because he doesn't give me enough grace for next week. He gives me enough grace today. So I've really started to narrow my thinking down, and I think about his provision, you know, give us this day our daily bread. His mercies are new every morning. And I contemplate that a lot.
Hmm. You know, Jan, I was thinking while you were sharing that the song that we sing in church about my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness, his blood, who he is. And for the believer, we have a different definition of hope. We live in a world today, it says things like, I hope so, or, you know, I just hope things work out. It's sort of a kind of a mushy thing. But for the believer, there's an element of certainty about hope. We believe that our hope is in a person. We believe our hope is in the reality of Jesus Christ and not in a hope so, maybe, perhaps, down the road. And I think that ties into all the kind of calls that we're going to get today, even starting with Eric. I mean, Eric, I heard him talk about this new marriage and his wife not understanding about his past and trying to put the future together, and he probably feels pretty hopeless in the process. To understand that hope is something that we experience, but it's also something that we cling to and then live out intentionally every day. Intentional Living, we're here to help you today live your one life. You only get one. To live your one life intentionally in Christ. I mean, that's it. This is a one-life deal, the days are passing quickly. Do the math. We get about 27,000 days on the planet, give or take. Some less, some more, but about 27,000 days on average. And how we live every one of those days makes a difference. Intentional living is not about perfection. It's about making that declaration of your intention. And today, whatever it is, if you're sick and tired of being in debt today to say, I'm looking for freedom in my finances, I'm going to get there intentionally. If you're wrestling with your marriage, you're not communicating, you're not on the same page, to be able to stand up and say, today I declare that before God, my one thing to be intentional, my declaration is to really bring my marriage before God and become the man or the woman I need to be in this marriage to confront the issues that are there and do it intentionally. The first step in the intentional living process is to freely declare your intentions. And in other words, overcoming good intentions. Good intentions are a dime a dozen. I don't even know why they use the word good in front of intention, because there's nothing good about it. They're evil. Because a good intention that's not acted on allows us to live in a world of illusion. And that's destructive. All right, come and join us. If you want to add into the discussion, you have a question, comment, 888-888-1717.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio.
Hi, Randy. This is Cindy, and I've been listening to Intentional Living for 4 years. When I came to Arizona, I was an ex-pastor's wife who had gone through a tremendous, painful divorce, and I was in a very dark pit of depression and despair for many years, and was shamed, not only because of my family of origin, but also because of this shame. I ended up in the hospital with a bleeding ulcer and blood transfusions, but now the story is Family Life Radio. Every day of my life, I tune in. I listen to the music. I listen to you, Randy. I listen to one intentional thing. And my one intentional thing was to have hope. Just to have hope. And now my one intentional thing is to spread that hope and spread the joy God has given me. And God has taken me through an incredible valley of the shadow of death to high on the mountaintop, where I was depressed, I'm now filled with joy, where I was lacking hope and faith, I'm now brimming over with it. Thank you, Randy. You have given me a gift I just can't put into words.
Boy, what a story. Thank you for... Well, it's encouraging and also reminding others listening of the power of hope. It's like a life raft sometimes. You know, you feel like you're just hanging on. And yet we know that when we hang on, we're hanging on to something that's more than just something that's going to sink eventually. If our hope is in Christ, you know, the reality is everybody on the planet has some form of hope, unless they've gotten to the place of hopelessness and deep depression. But sometimes the hope isn't in the things that are going to last. Hope in money, hope in people, hope in fame, hope in relationships instead of hope in Christ. And as we talk about hope today, I just want to remind you that if you don't know Jesus Christ personally, that today would be the day that you would put your faith and your hope and your trust in Him and simply turn to Him and say, Lord Jesus, I'm done doing it my own way. I ask you to come and be the Lord of my life today, and begin a brand new journey, a brand new direction. That is intentional living. That's the beginning of an intentional life in Christ. And that's why we're here today. All right, let's get on with our calls. We're talking about hope. You're welcome to share your story at 888-888-1717. We got Larry on the line today. Larry, welcome to the program. How can I help you today?
I'm a 46-year-old single male. And I'm raising two little girls, and I've been struggling. I mean, it's chaos in my house, you know. They constantly lie, you know. They fight with each other. Their mom ran out of them, and they take all their frustrations out on me, you know. And I don't know what to do anymore.
Is mom still involved in her life?
In and out, though, you know. She sees them for a little bit, then she comes in town for maybe a month and takes off, and they go nuts, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just constantly in and out, in and out, in and out. Everything that I've tried to do, you know, it just goes out the window when she comes into town. And
yeah, well, that's very disruptive. How old are your girls?
They're 9 and 11.
At this stage, how are you doing?
I'm constantly under stress, you know. I'm constantly, it's a battle every day, you know. And I pray every day for some help, you know. But I just feel like the Lord is not there for me, you know. That's how I feel, you know.
Well, He is, brother, and I hear you, and I think we've all had moments where we feel that. I mean, even in the best of lives, there's moments when we just say, where are you, God? Where are you? We see that in Scripture. And you're overwhelmed, man. You're tired. You're exhausted. You're carrying this whole ball alone, and you start to get the thing moving in the right direction, and all of a sudden, mom shows up and messes everything up. And, you know, one of the things, Larry, for you, is we talk about hope. Hope doesn't only mean that we sit passively by waiting for something to happen. God wants us to act. And to live intentionally is to look at the problem and make an assessment of what's going to bring glory to Christ and what's the right thing to do. These girls need stability in their home. They need to know that you're there and you're continuing to follow through and you're being the dad they need. What they don't need is mom coming in, messing things up and going back out. In other words, she gets her jollies, gets her little fill of whatever she's looking for, right? And then she's back out doing what she thinks she needs to do or wants to do. That in and out of the kids' lives is not healthy. And so I think you need to take some action. I don't know what that is. I don't know legally what it is. I don't know what kind of help you need, but you do need to get some help. You may need some legal help. You need to get some counseling help, and you need to get some help that can help you with the girls so you can get a break and take care of yourself. Because you are exhausted, man, and you're not going to continue to survive. And what'll happen, I'll tell you, it's a cycle people fall into. You start to feel overwhelmed, the expectations aren't being met, disappointment sets in, and then hopelessness sets in. And you don't want to get to that point. So take some action and do it consistently and reach out. Don't wait for someone to come and help you. Reach out, call your pastor, call a counselor, get some help, practical help, so you don't have to carry this alone. kids, I mean, kids are so vulnerable to adults' behavior, and it's a reminder, listen, be in or be out. Be in or be out. Parenting is not about me and what makes me feel good. It's about my kids and what's going to help them become responsible adults. We're talking intentional living today. You can join us, 888-888-1717. We've got Sess on the line from with a question from New Mexico. Welcome to the program.
Hi, hello. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
I wanted to just get your word on a couple of things. I was recently engaged for since January. I was with my fiance for about almost 3 years, and as kind of similar to Eric's story, his wife wasn't understanding the blended family, and my fiance didn't have kids. He doesn't have kids, and I do have kids. I have a 6 and a 9-year-old, and it was kind of the same situation. He was having a hard time understanding that I had to, converse with their father, and that it would always be that way. And so it came to the point where now, we still talk. I've moved out of the home, but we're no longer engaged or in a relationship. Mm-hmm. We talk, and it feels like maybe it's going to go somewhere, or we're going to work it out, and then it feels like it's not going to. And so it's been kind of confusing, mm-hmm, as to whether just to let this go.
Are you pushing it, or is he pushing it?
It's kind of mutual, mm-hmm, but more so with him. I think he's pushing it more, that he doesn't have kids, and he's having a hard time understanding, again, like, that I have to have, I have to do, exchanges with their father, and their father, he has some things that he needs to work on in his life, and it's not the best role model at times, but that's...
Well, Sess, here's what I hear in your voice. I hear you completely overwhelmed.
Yes.
You're tired.
It's overwhelming.
And you've got one, and again, intentional living, Sess, is about prioritizing our life. It's sort of starting out with, what are the main things I got to take care of? Life is full of a lot of stuff, but what's the big thing right now? And when I hear you saying the number one priority in your life right now has got to be raising those kids.
Yeah.
Not complicating it by having a relationship, having someone living in the house with you, talking about, mm-hmm, engagement, not understanding. This is complicating his life and your life, is what I hear.
Yes.
It's not just you. It's him too. And not to mention the kids. I imagine the kids are probably thinking, now, where is he? They probably started to connect with him, and now he's out of the house. And that's disruptive to the kids.
Right.
We have talked for 25 years, Sess, I've said basically the same thing from this microphone. When you got a priority to raise the kids, raise the kids. Don't complicate your life with outside relationships. Just don't do it. I mean, you got a priority, and your priority right now is to raise those kids, get them to a place where they can be on their own, and then at that point to really honor, to glorify Christ, to have a healthy, God-based process of building a relationship with a man. And if that comes, it comes at a right time with the right person who can understand what's going on in your life. What I hear you saying to me, Sess, is that you have no peace on where you are right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think that the thing I'm struggling with is, for the past couple of years, everything was going fine. I mean, it was as if he was fine with everything. He understood in the beginning that, I had kids, and he did great with them, and they loved him, and they still do. And like I said, we still talk, and occasionally he sees my kids. But then all of a sudden it kind of just went like, he just realized this is a lot for me. He didn't, mm-hmm, realize it was going to be this, mm-hmm, hard. And
what is your spirit telling you? The part that's connected with God, what is God telling you?
I feel like he's telling me to let go of this relationship. And I think that's what I'm in the process of doing by moving out. And, the conversations haven't been far and few between, and just trying to let go of that whole idea of marriage in the first place. You know, I've never been married before, and it was something that I thought, was going to be forever, and it just didn't work out. Mm-hmm. And
you weren't married, or you were married?
I wasn't married before.
Were you married to this man?
No, we were engaged.
You're engaged
in January.
All right. So as it got mm-hmm. more to the place of, hey, maybe we're going to get married, if I heard you right, he was saying, hey, this is a lot. This is more than I thought this was going to be.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, Seth, listen, the lesson, those of us who have ears to hear, let us hear, let us learn. And I would really encourage you as a brother in Christ that you really focus on your kids, really get through this period of loss in your life, really focus on your relationship with Christ and with your kids, and don't depend upon a relationship other than your relationship with Christ right now, and then really get into some counseling for yourself before you would look to the future with this man or not, to make sure that God is in the middle of it, and it's going to be a relationship that's going to be healthy for both of you, because right now it doesn't sound like it is for either of you, and certainly not the kids. Hope comes sometimes when we take the action. We experience hope when we take the action that honors Christ. Okay, we're talking intentional living today, or maybe you have experienced the hope in Christ intentionally and want to share an encouraging story, do so. David had died. Solomon, his son, had been appointed king. Solomon was about 20 years old. In 1 Kings chapter 3, it says, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask, what shall I give you? God gave to Solomon an opportunity to pick whatever he asked. And listen to what Solomon said. He said, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people. Therefore, give your servant an understanding, here's his answer, give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? That's an excerpt from the lesson this month. And it's called sharpening your edge. Solomon reminds us that if we have a dull axe, it takes twice as much effort to chop down that tree, doesn't it? And that's true in our lives when we're sharp into God's word, when we're sharp in our relationship and practically in the areas of skills that we have in our work, things are not only a lot easier, they're more, they get a better return. And so, members, that's our lesson this month. I hope you enjoy it. It's, of course, available on our site, and inviting those of you who are not members to come and join us today. We have a very special campaign going on, of course, here at the end of the year, but this week. And I thank you for joining us in monthly support, standing with us, being a part of Intentional Living. And we have our own staff taking your calls today. When you call, just say, hey, I want to be a part with Dr. Randy, the Intentional Living Ministry, and your monthly support is going to be a huge help. How do I do that? Call 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717, or go to theintentionallife.com. All right, we've got just enough time to hear from Sammy as she describes how hope in Christ has changed her life.
One thing I've learned in the years that I have served the Lord is you cannot base your hope on circumstances, happenings, or events, because you can make plans, but the Bible says man proposes and God disposes. We had a star athlete for his son, and being scouted for pro baseball by age 15, traveled with the Pro Cub Scout team, and so many hopes and dreams. This year experienced our son going to prison, drug addiction, that has increased from one drug to the next. Started out with Percocet, Xanax, given to him by a dirty doctor. the addictions of that for a baseball injury in the shoulder and on and on. And, you know, my husband coached him all his life, and we had these wonderful dreams and, you know, God-given talent. But we have seen those seemingly shattered and devastated. And, you know, the word says perfect love casts out all fear. Fear was gripping when he first entered prison. I honestly, emotionally thought I would just die. But when I came to the realization that my plans, my son's plans, the baseball world's plans, were not necessarily God's plans. But the one thing I've learned is my hope is in God. My hope is in the blood of Jesus and his grace that is new every morning.
Hi, my name is Justin. I'm just so thankful for stations like yours. I came from pit my whole life, selling drugs, had the love of money, the lustful heart, the selfish, just only cared about myself and the next dollar. And I missed out on so much life. I fell into depression and felt hopeless. I prayed God to just take me away, take me out of this world. And he did, but not in the way that I was asking. He gave me a new start, a new life, hope. He gave me hope because I have hope in Jesus.
You know, that's the theme. In fact, this entire week, I hope you'll be listening because we're going to be emphasizing how you can experience hope. What is it? Is it just a feeling? Is it a reality? Are we fooling ourselves? And yet we know that the scripture is very clear that our hope is built on something more than just an emotion. And we're going to talk about that throughout this week. And it's a special campaign. I hope you'll be listening all week long as we talk about experiencing hope in your life. All right, got to wrap it up today. I'm Dr. Randy. We'll be back again tomorrow with something very special. I really do trust that you'll join us because we're going to be introducing something very special starting tomorrow. Again, if you'd like to join us today, and we hope you would pray about it and then call and be a part of Intentional Living, just give us a call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. Have a great day. We'll see you next time right here from Intentional Living.